Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum. Celebrate the opening of I Saw It, Francisco de Goya Printmaker, with an evening of live music, art making, live model drawing, tours, and more. Saturday, April 20th from 4 to 6:30 p.m. Info at nortonsimon.org.
I'm Julia Paskin. Join me as I talk with NPR's Sarah McCammon about her new book, The Ex-Evangelicals, Loving, Living, and Leaving the White Evangelical Church. That's April 25th at the Crawford. Tickets at las.com/events.
It's Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. I'm John Horn in for Larry Mantle this week, and so glad to have you with us. Robin Wright is known for her acting roles in The Princess Bride and the popular political thriller series House of Cards. But this time, she's also in the director's seat for her new film, Land. It follows a grieving woman whose son and husband have died. She moves to a remote mountain cabin to try to heal or to give up trying altogether. I talked with Wright, who also stars in the film. I started off by reading her a journal passage from my friend Stephanie Wiley. Her teenage son, Tommy, died from a drug overdose. And Wright's character in Land, like Stephanie, moves to the wilderness after her son's death. A big question this brings up is why I feel I have to hold it together for others. Part of this seems to come out of self-defense. If I build up this wall and outwardly show how strong I'm being, you won't have extra reason to feel sorry for me. And now she talks about writing. I'm so glad that I've been writing along the way because I know that as time goes on, while I'll never be over this and will probably never really heal, the intensity may fade, and I want to remember how deeply I felt, how I need to live in this pain and this grief for a while in order to walk through it. That's what Stephanie Wiley said about her son, Tommy. And it felt like it was almost the same story that you're telling in this film.
Wow. I can't even imagine what that must feel like. I mean, A, you know, you're not supposed to survive your children. She nailed it. I mean, that's exactly what I've been told, like when I was doing research for this role. I wanted to understand trauma better. We've all had trauma, every single one of us in varying degrees, right? But this kind that you just read about, what my movie is about, it's unfathomable. So when I was speaking to these renowned psychologists who literally do this for a living, they travel around the world, Dr. James Gordon being one of them, travels around the world in conflict regions, crisis zones, and helps people work through their trauma, PTSD. And he said, I think I will better serve you if we do a session, because it was Zoom, it was during the pandemic, and we had decided to add the opening scene of the movie after we edited the movie. That was not in the original draft.
Where your character is talking about her loss in what looks like a therapeutic setting.
Exactly. And he said, I want you to be in character, and I'm going to do a session with Edie. And it was the most powerful 2 hours I had ever experienced. I'd been doing therapy my whole life, all different types of therapy. But there was some magic. I don't know what he has. It's the way that he poses the question to you. And he doesn't tell you what you're going through. You know what I mean? You know how some therapists will be, well, what's happening right now is this is father issue, or this is, right? Never did he claim to know the origin of that emotion that was coming out of Edie, the character. It was so beneficial.
One of the books that Dr. James Gordon wrote is called Transforming Trauma, The Path to Hope and Healing. So it is about trauma, and it's also about recovery, and that while you're never going to get over your loss, and you're always going to be guided by grief, there is a path forward. So when you were thinking about this character's path and about where she doesn't know where she's going to go. Is there any feeling at the beginning of this story in your mind that she knows how to get there? I mean, she's obviously cut herself off from the world, But is that a plan or is that a reaction?
I think it's a spontaneous reaction. And you're supposed to wonder, is this a deliberate suicide? It is, in a sense, a suicide of the self that she will never be able to exist in again. That person's gone. That life was taken away from her in the flash of a second. So she wants to erase. And I think that kind of reactionary response to, it's almost like you're jumping 10 steps ahead and you forgot to go back and do the second, third, fourth, fifth. She just went to stage 10. Like, this is my intention. I'm going to go there. It's almost like an homage also. When you finally get to the end of the movie, you realize why she went there. And she finally realizes that that's not really productive. It hasn't really completed whatever mission she had, if she had one. She thought she was going to fix something. And really and truly, what nature gave her and Miguel guiding her to this is to slow down and look and notice.
I'm going to talk about your sound design by Paul Hsu and your director of cinematography, Bobby Bukowski, because there is a arc to the way that nature is represented in this film as being harsh and almost overwhelming at the beginning, and then it evolves. In your conversations with Paul and Bobby, what did you talk about in terms of what the natural world would sound like and look like and how it would evolve in your character's way of seeing it?
I mean, in layman terms, we basically used two words. It was in the beginning, everything is too loud. Every bird, every sound of wind, whether it's going through the pine trees or the aspens, they're very deliberate cutting sounds that are amplified. When she is rescued, in a sense, and starts to feel at one with nature and learns how to live there properly with the help of this beautiful stranger, it was then that everything became more level. Every sound, every piece of weather, she was communing with it. So the sound started to commune with her as well.
You made this movie about one character and one character's loss. It comes out at a time when we're quickly approaching 500,000 Americans who have died from COVID. Does the idea of loss and grief and recovery and isolation change the way that this movie might be received, do you think?
Yes. I think it was another gift that we got delayed because of COVID in our post-production process. This movie should have come out in May, June. And when we got shut down in February, it took a couple of months for us to resume remotely so we could finish the film. And that pushed the film's release up until November. And Focus Features said, I really think you should turn the edit and your sound design and your, I know you're like almost done, you're not quite done with your movie. I was like, oh, I'm not quite done. They said, give it to Sundance, let's submit it, let's just see. And that gift, I think, was a beautiful fate. I think it was meant to come out right now.
My thanks to Stephanie Wiley for sharing her and Tommy's story, and to Robin Wright, who directs and stars in the new film Land. It's out now on various video on demand platforms, including Fandango Now, Vudu, and Google Play. I'm John Horn. Larry Mantle is back next week. Thanks for listening to Film Week on 89.3 KPCC. Have a great weekend.
Support comes from Ciclavia, catalyzing vibrant public spaces, active transportation, and good health through car-free streets. Ciclavia promotes respect and infrastructure for bike and pedestrian-friendly public spaces. Enjoy these pop-up parks for the day in your favorite people-powered way. Jogging, biking, skating, strolling, or simply spectating. Free and open to all, Ciclovia Sundays generate miles of smiles in neighborhoods all over L.A. Details at www.ciclavia.org.